Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really glad to have with me for the first time Ralph Shearing. He's the president of one of our sponsor companies, Telson Resources. And Ralph, he's been around for a little while as a professional geologist. He graduated from the University of British Columbia back in 1981. He's worked in Canada, but in many other countries. And as an exploration geologist, really doing all the things that exploration geologists do, you know, geophysics, geochemistry, geology, diamond core drilling, that sort of thing. So he's really a boots on the ground guy that's now spending some time, I suppose, perhaps not his preference in offices dealing with corporate matters, but he's also out in the walking the outcrops as well. He started the company in 1986 really making some great progress now that the bear market seems to be over in gold, and the company is doing quite well. It's selling, though, only at around 34 cents in Canadian money today. I think that is likely to prove to be a bargain sometime in the not-too-distant future, and I think Ralph maybe will be able to explain why I feel that way. The stock trades in Toronto under the symbol TSN. You can buy it in the U.S. Under the symbol SOHFF. About 94 million shares outstanding, and as I said, 34 cents Canadian, about $32 million market cap, and that's about $22 million or so in U.S. money as a market cap. So it's a very low market cap company. I think when you hear what Ralph has to say, you're going to kind of think that maybe it should be priced higher. Well, welcome, Ralph. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Jay, for having me on the show. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, it's really good to have you, and it was great seeing you at the Metals Investor Forum last weekend up in there in Vancouver, your beautiful town, and good to see. There seemed to be a lot of interest in your story as well. On March 17th of this year, when I added Telson to my newsletter portfolio, you had one advanced stage mining project, the Tayohito, if I'm pronouncing that right, mine, located in Durango, Mexico.
Very close.
Very close? Okay. Well, we can brush up on our Spanish a little later, perhaps. But I thought that made you a very, very undervalued situation, and that's why I put it in my newsletter. Even on that, now you've come around, and this just as I was heading off to Vancouver, I noticed that you had picked up, or at least had made an agreement to acquire, a Campo Morado mine, another gold and silver operation, past producer in Mexico. Maybe we start out with the Tayohito. What can you tell us about the economics of that mine, and what do you expect to do? When might you start mining? Give us a story on that mine.
Yeah, sure, Jay. The Tabahueto project is sort of a very advanced stage project. We put out a pre-feasibility study early this year, which shows very good economics. And they were a study was done at a 550-ton-a-day operation. What's our initial plans? We're really planning to get it up to 1,000 tons per day in the first year. But the economics at 550 tons a day, all 43-101 compliant, were extremely good. We came up with a $77 million net present value with an 8% discount, pays back in about 3 years, got a 21-year mine life, which obviously isn't ideal, but, as I said, our plans are really to get it to 1,000 tons per day.
Mm-hmm.
And our average cost of on a gold equivalent ounce basis looks like about $494 at that 550-ton a day, so we're going to be able to mine our project very economically with a high-grade nature.
Yeah, well, you have also, besides, you have gold, you have silver, you have base metals there, too. So is that applying a credit from those base metals, Ralph?
Yeah,
on that
494? It certainly does. It's primarily a gold project, probably 65% of the value is in the gold. But we do have lead, zinc, copper, and silver. And they pay very well. I mean, they'll give, the rest of the value for going forward on the project.
You are a tiny company, for sure. I mean, as I just said, your market cap quite low. Do you have the resources to put this thing back into production?
Well, yes. Actually, it was in production only for a very short period of time, many, many years ago, at about 50 tons a day. We're actually planning, obviously, to expand that size, substantially expand it. And we believe we have the resources. We're in the advanced stages of our funding negotiation. We're planning to do offtake funding, which is really just promising to deliver your concentrate to a commodities-style broker or a purchaser. And with that, they'll loan you the money to build your mine and probably have to give, you know, 4 or 5 year term on the concentrate to be delivered to that commodities broker. So we're, as I say, in advanced stages. We hope to bring that release out to the market very, very shortly. And that will give us all of the money to build the mine. And the plan is really around $15 million from the off-taker. We already have a loan facility in place with our major Mexican shareholder and controlling shareholder. Mm-hmm. About $7.5 million U.S. loan. We've tapped into that for about $3 million. So we have the money necessary to build the mine if we conclude the off-take funding.
Would
be completed throughout the rest of this year. We would hope to have it in production maybe by the end of the year, but most likely in the first quarter of next year.
At 550 tons per day to start with,
yes,
right?
Yes. And then, you know, the whole plan there is to ramp it up to 1,000 tons per day, which would be really easy because the pre-feasibility is wrapped around a one-shift, 12-hour day mining operation, processing 24 hours. But the mill that we have already purchased for a fairly good price is capable of 1,000 tons per day. So all we would really need to do is just add one more shift and ramp up the production to feed that mill at 1,000 tons per day.
Oh, okay.
And the economics are much better. I mean, the economics obviously, you know, increase the value at least 60 to 70% from the 500 tons per day.
Yeah, so already we're looking at, as I understand, that $77 million present value discounted at 8% was for a 550-ton-per-day operation, right?
Correct.
Okay, so add 60% or so to that. I mean, already at $77 million, you're more than twice the current market cap. So that should give investors some sort of a goal, some sort of an idea where, at least if the market prices you, at least your discounted present value. But that's your first mine. That's your first project. And but you picked up a second. You picked up a second, the Campo Morado mine, or you haven't picked it up yet, but you've signed an agreement to do so, right? Talk to us about that.
Correct. Well, that is an extremely good opportunity for the company and its shareholders. That project is capable. It has a mine, a mill, everything is there. All the infrastructure is in place to produce at 2,500 tons per day. The story behind that project, Farallon Mining, a Canadian company, drilled it, put it into production in the late 2008-2009. They produced for a short period of time. You remember back then the market and the industry were just flying. Everything was going really, really well. And there was a big smelting company, Nyrstar, out of Belgium, who had made a corporate decision to go in and purchase mines rather than have to purchase the concentrate. They thought they would just get in and start mining and concentrate themselves. So they purchased a half a dozen mines throughout North America, down to South America, and continued and started operating those mines, producing concentrate. Well, you know what happened in 2012, 13, and 14? The industry crashed. The price of zinc, they're a zinc smelting company, the price of zinc went straight to the bottom. I think it was trading under 50 cents a pound for a little while there. So they started to get into economic difficulties with a number of the projects, and corporate office decided that, this was a good plan at the time. However, the circumstances changed, and now that plan is not working out. So they made a corporate decision to dispose of the majority, if not all, of those assets are in that process right now. So I know they sold two. The one we purchased, or at least, as you say, signed an agreement to purchase, they purchased that back in 2010 for an equivalent value of $420 million on a friendly takeover of Farallon Mining. My understanding is they put another $80 million in to purchase a royalty that Silver Wheaton had on the project that kept the Farallon guys that loaned money to build the mine. And then they put more money in to expand the operation from around 750 tons a day to 2,500 tons per day. So they had a lot of money into this project as well as the other projects. And the corporate decision to move out was really just let's get back to our core business and get to send the mines away. So we were able to pick up that mine on a deal for $20 million, which seems like a steal. And in some respects, it is. But there are a few little warts on the project that we think we can handle fairly well. And remember that prices of zinc were way down, and they had bought the mines for zinc production. So we stepped in. We made a deal for $20 million. We paid $800,000. We're paying the balance of an initial payment of $353,500,000 as soon as we get TSX approval. We expect to obtain that in the next several weeks. And then the balance is due within 1 year, so about $16.5 million, U.S. figures all, will be due in 1 year's time. So we're planning to pay that out of production, so out of cash flows. Or if our stock does what we think it's going to do over the next short period of time, we can always go back to the market and raise additional funds to pay that cost. But the mine itself and the economics we've looked at, it's quite capable of paying back that final payment before 1 year's time out of cash flows.
You probably can't say too much yet about the economics of the mine. Where you're projected, obviously, you're paying $20 million, so you must have some concept of what it can do, what sort of cash flow it can provide and under different metals prices. But can you give us an idea of how much metal might be produced from this operation? Give us some sense. You said 2,500 tons per day. What might that amount to in terms of gold and silver production, et cetera?
Well, the real way to do that, and I can't say a lot because, you know, we don't have any compliant reports ourselves issuing this. And in fact, the last 43-101 report was in 2010 by Farallon Mining, and Nearstar, of course, are a very large company and aren't listed in Canada, so they weren't really reporting and doing 43-101 studies. But in 2014, they produced right to the end of 2014, and they produced 657,000 tons of ore. The average grades on that were 1.2 grams gold, 115 grams per ton silver, 4.6% zinc, 1.2% copper, and 0.9% lead. So, you know, listeners can do that math, or they can get into the disclosure from Nearstar and come up with their own numbers, but it's going to be quite profitable for us. Now, I mentioned a couple warts. One of the difficulties that Nearstar had when things were going bad and the metal prices were going down, there was stress, financial stress on the mine. So they had some difficulties with the local community. Mm-hmm. And we're very, very confident we can repair those deficiencies with the local community, because Antonio Berlanga, our CEO, is really a hands-on Mexican mining guy who's been in the industry all his life and has done this successfully in the past for various companies he's worked for, to, you know, engage the community, make them part of the mine, and bring them into the development of the mine and the operations of the mine. So, you know, and they effectively, if you get them on site, they effectively become part of your security and looking after the areas and keeping the potentially keeping the bad guys away. So we've done that very successfully at Tabahueto, and we're confident we can do it again at Campo Morado.
Yeah, well, certainly one of the main things you have going for you is Antonio and other professionals that are Mexican natives that know the culture, can mix with the people, and know how to do things in that environment. I met Antonio, of course. He spoke there at the Metals Investor Forum. What can you tell us about, I mean, you're ready on the first mining project you talked about. You've got a 21-year mine life, I guess probably a lot less than that if you go to 1,000 tons per day. But so you have a lot of mill feed there on that one. What about the Campo Morado? You have a long, is that a long life situation that you see there, or exploration potential?
Definitely on both of them. And, you know, speaking of Campo Morado, it's got the current resources of 17 million tons in all categories. 14 of those are measured and indicated. So there's a decent long life just with the resources that are there. But the exploration potential is very, very good. They've used successfully geophysics to outline new ore bodies. The area is large. There's lots of exploration potential to bring new resources and new reserves into a new mine plan that we'll be putting together for Campo Morado. And if you look at Tabahueto is just got phenomenal exploration potential. I visited that project first and made the deal to bring it into the company a number of years ago. When I first stepped foot on the project, I just fell in love with it. It's got very large exploration potential, and you know, we've proven that up on the current structure we've drilled. We have numerous other structures that are mineralized. We haven't drilled them. They're sitting there waiting to be drilled to bring into the reserves and resources of the project. And even the resource structures that we have drilled and make up our resources and reserves are open in all directions. We haven't found the limits of the ore bodies to depth, and they're open along strike on that one structure. So it's a very large exploration potential. The area we're working in is about 500 hectares, five to 700 hectares, and that contains the majority of the known structures and mineralized structures to date. However, we own 7,500 hectares of a mineralized camp called Tawawito. Mm. It's recognized in the geological surveys as the Tawawito mineral camp. And I would say we have probably 85% of the prospective ground within our concession. So lots of greenfield exploration potential around that as well.
My goodness. Well, that's exciting. I guess, though, you know, there are always maybe constraints in terms of tailings capability or the ability to pull ore from underground fast enough or to really expand. But I guess those are engineering issues that you might face sometime in the future. But right now, it looks like you've got a lot of rock to blast and pull out of there and produce from, right? For the foreseeable future.
Certainly. Yeah, 1,000 tons per day, it's 12-year mine life. So there's plenty to go on, plenty upside on this project, as well as Campo Morado. So we're all really, really excited here at Tellson.
Rightfully so. It's a very exciting story, I think, and I want to thank you very much. Any one last thought, maybe, before we conclude our discussion for today with about 30 seconds left?
For me, well, I guess I would just encourage potential investors and your listeners to have a good look at our company. I think that you'll be pleasantly surprised at what we have going on and where we're going in a very short period of time. It's not often you will come across a small company like ours, 35 million market cap, that will have two mines in production within a very short period of time,
certainly
early next year.